Welcome to Crusade with me. I'm Dave, and I'm so glad you're here with us today as we dive deep into a life-changing scripture from Philippians chapter 4. We're going to explore what it means to focus our thoughts on the things of God, on what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Title of today's podcast is simple. Whatever. And trust me, it's more than just a casual phrase. It's a powerful, deliberate mindset rooted in God's Word. So let's embark on this journey together. Grab your Bible, your coffee, and let's dig in. Is that enough for you today?
It doesn't get old.
I know.
It's going to be way off subject, but do you remember when I wanted to take drum lessons?
Yeah.
And then I
Okay, but yes.
I do remember. Yes. Yeah, I do. And then I found out I was pregnant.
Yeah.
That kiboshed that.
Very true. Sorry, well, as I slurp my coffee.
And a little thing called a chronic illness.
Minor details,
minor
right?
Minor details.
Well, no, but look, hey, before we dive into Philippians 4, let's take a moment to understand the context of what Paul, you know, what's going on here in this, as he's writing this. And I know I've shared this before in other episodes, that Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi while he's in prison. Just as a frame of reference for understanding, he's actually sitting in prison writing this letter to the church. I just like to think about that for a second. So he is behind bars, possibly facing death, and yet he's writing about joy, contentment, and peace. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
You know, really, I mean.
He could have been writing about, hey, guys, come break me out of
right.
here.
I'm the victim. I'm,
this is
you
my
know,
story.
Yeah, all that, right? So, but Philippians is often called the epistle of joy, right? And here we are in chapter 4. Paul's talking about more than joy. He's showing us how to cultivate a mindset that brings peace in every circumstance, even the tough ones. So whether you're facing financial strain, illness, or relational tensions or conflicts, however you want to put it, he's got some great things to think about. And you know, we talked about in another episode about my journey through the Tao time and all this and the other. And I think I shared about one thing I found very intriguing. And we've read some other books about how powerful our minds really are.
Mm-hmm.
That makes this very, very important what we're talking about now. If you can rationalize or if you can comprehend and understand how powerful our minds are and how important it is for us to have, when I say I'm a right mindset, that's not talking about something superfluous or something silly. I'm being serious when I say our mindsets, what we think matters.
Mm-hmm. Fact, evidence, based
scientific evidence that proves that throughout.
We can change our health path.
Correct.
Just by the way we think.
Correct. Absolutely right. So that's, that makes us even more important in my mind that we get this right, or we really, really understand this. So let's get into it. Let's read the scripture that will anchor us today and hopefully this week and this month and the remainder of this year. Mm-hmm. And Paul writes, it's written, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, wow, these words are powerful. Mm-hmm. Paul tells us to think about the whatevers. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, and so on. Why does he emphasize our thoughts? Because our thoughts shape our lives. I don't know about you, but I've had some seasons where my mind was filled with negativity, doubt, fear. And what happened? These thoughts affected my peace, my relationships, my walk with God. But here, Paul is giving us a blueprint for a healthy, Christ-centered thought life, quite honestly. It reminds me of the Israelites in the wilderness. And I know I talk about them a lot on the podcast, but it's a major player in the Bible and to mm-hmm. understand.
And we're in the season of Lent. It kind of goes correct, hand in hand.
Correct. So they face real hardships. Lack of food, enemies, fear of the unknown. But what happened when they allowed negativity and doubt to dominate their thoughts? Mm-hmm. They grumbled. They lost faith. And they wandered for 40 years.
They paid the price.
They did. So their thoughts didn't align with God's promises. So the question is for us today, what are we thinking about? Is it fear? Is it the what ifs? Or is it the whatever that Paul talks about? What do you think?
Sometimes it's the why me.
Yeah. Too often, it's the why me, right?
I had that conversation with our daughter this week. Shamefully so. I mean, it was me having the why me's. And I own that.
Don't worry.
You know, when you feel like you've been wronged unnecessarily.
Sure.
And I need this topic was my idea.
Yes, it was.
And I needed this to recalibrate myself on what to focus about, because I was focusing on the negative. And
well, there's a world full of negative to focus on, is there not?
Yeah. Yeah. But not just the things that don't affect you directly. I mean, indirectly, but directly. I mean, it just.
Right.
But, you know, this week has just kind of been one of those weeks where it just seemed like it was kind of piggybacked off of conversations you and I had, and you told me you have to change your way of thinking. Buddy, I ain't been able to change my thinking in 40 years. What makes you think I'm going to just change it because you tell me to? But I
bam!
No. Yeah. But what I did makes it sound like past tense, like I did that, but what I'm doing is thinking about it and then having that conversation with her, it's, you know, I've got, I'm like, your dad is right. And I know you love to hear that. I said, I've got to stop. I said, but it's hard when you've been for 40 years trying to do a certain something.
Right.
And it doesn't change no matter what you do. And so I'm just trying to
really
change.
Really, it is time to change the mindset.
Change the mindset and let things go and realize that I'm just going to be me and not worry about other circumstances. I know I'm being very vague, but.
And you need to be. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not important.
No, it's not.
But to your point, and I know I say this a lot, and we say this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because we have this podcast that means nothing. We have no answers. We are not.
No.
I've always said I'm a professional nothing. Okay.
No.
I just like to dig into the Bible and use that. And I don't even want to use the word experimented or for lack of a better term, but checked out some other things, just double checking myself. I've made it clear many times about my Taoist. And I even talked positively about that experience on an episode that will be out, I think, this week. Mm-hmm. And that's something that just hit my mind that we are going to have to focus on and get back into the practice of, because we've done this practice together, and I know it's helpful. And it's not Taoist. It's something that's scriptural. The Bible tells us to do this. This verse... These words and this verse are the things that we need to sit down and meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
And get back in a little bit of that meditative practice.
Mm-hmm.
And we have scripture repeatedly tell us we need to meditate, right?
Right.
That's not a Taoist only. No.
I would say, point out too, another positive thing. We talked about again on that podcast that a positive thing that came out of that was the meditation. I would also say another thing that came out of that was a positive thing was breath prayers. I never done a breath prayer before ever. And that's something that you taught me or explained to me what that was. And I would say, because that's something that you can just do while you're making dinner, while you're washing dishes, while you're folding laundry, while you're, yes. And I think that that is a very positive additive to a healthy prayer life.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And I know that I've.
And that's not necessarily a Taoist thing. I mean,
it's not.
It was just something that you learned or stumbled upon or whatever during that time.
Correct.
And I think that's just a nice, little dessert on the charcuterie board or whatever. It's just, of life. I don't know.
The charcuterie board of life? Is that what you just said?
I don't know. Well, you know, you've got
that's
all gotta these.
That's got to be an episode somewhere in this thing now that you
well,
bring
you
that
know,
up.
On the charcuterie board, you've got all these little things, you know. You've got your pickles, you've got your almonds, you've got your meat, you've got your cheese.
Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. The charcuterie board of life. Okay.
See?
Lent has hit us hard. We're focusing on food a lot here. All right. Let's jump back into this. Let's break down each of these qualities Paul's listing out here. I think it'd be a good thing to do. Starting with the whatevers, whatever, you know what I'm saying? That's become like a negative phrase in our society today, right?
It used to be, it was kind of a coined phrase, like whatever, when our kids were younger.
Whatever.
It was very popular.
That would get them,
whatever.
That might get them a belt across the backside.
But. And then I think that when I was at a ladies' Bible class one time, it was someone did a study, a devotion.
Similar, yes, about whatever.
This.
Right.
Yeah. Linda.
Yes.
Yeah, she did this, and she printed us up little bookmarks for our Bibles, and it said whatever, and on the back, she listed all of these, so that's why, And I thought, that's really cute.
No, I think it's excellent.
It's really lovely.
Okay. You're cute. Anyway. In a world filled with half-truths, deceptions, and confusion, how do we focus on truth? For us as believers, it starts with God's word, of course. God's truth is the foundation we need when life feels uncertain. Next is whatever is honorable. Honor points us to integrity, to a life that reflects the character of Christ. It's about making choices that uplift and don't tear down. Then there's the whatever is just. Justice means fairness. Doing what is right in God's eyes, even when it's hard. And then, whatever is pure. In a world full of temptation, focusing on purity in thought and action keeps us aligned with God's will. Now let's look at the rest of the list. Whatever is lovely. That's why I think about you, my dear.
I love saying lovely. I don't know if you noticed. I say that a lot, especially kids.
You're lovely to me.
I don't like to say, oh, you're so pretty. I do to the youngest.
Say that to
baby, but I like to buttercup. Say lovely. I just think, I don't know, I guess lovely seems like an old-fashioned word, so I like to bring old-fashioned things back.
Okay. That's why you married me. Old-fashioned. I have no idea. This isn't just about beauty on the outside. It's about finding the beauty in God's creation, in his people, and the moments of grace he gives us each day. So whatever is commendable, these are things that inspire admiration. What are you admiring in your life right now? Admiring.
I was waiting for that.
I can help you with that, baby. So what is commendable? Yeah. We need to be admiring things in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things to admire.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is commendable. Then there's excellence. God calls us to excellence in everything we do, whether in our work, our relationships, or our service to him. So think about that. I mean, seriously, ponder that for a minute, okay? So do I provide excellence at work? Man, some days I wonder why they don't fire me, quite honestly. But excellence in everything we do, excellence in our work.
Man, my dad instilled excellence, and when you fell short, I'll let you know. You either did it right the first time or you didn't bother.
Excellence in our relationships. I feel like oftentimes relationships, okay, I'm true confessions time here. And I think we just had this discussion at brunch. I know this sounds bad from a guy who has a podcast that says crusade with me and kind of dives into the Bible, but I'm just being me and I'm just being realistic and honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because of my vocation or I don't know what it is. There is a really small group of people that I enjoy being around.
Oh, yes, we did have this conversation.
I know. That, because I think you said you love everybody and you want everybody to be your friend and all of this. And I said, I really don't like people. I said, right? I said,
yep.
I really don't like people.
Yep.
And my circle getting smaller as I'm getting older is getting smaller.
Oh, my circle right? is very small. I always say it's so small, it's really a dot.
But
in general, I like people.
I get it.
I love people. I get
it. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what you said. You said you love people, right?
Yeah.
And I said I don't like people. So, I mean, where does that leave me? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. But I guess what I don't like is, and because you said what you said, and if people, and I think I precursed all that, or maybe I said it after that, what I don't like is when people don't have the same mindset as you, for a lot of reasons, correct, but on right. this topic in particular, if people don't feel the same thing that you feel, they can't just accept your word for that, and so you must be lying.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse
yeah.
me.
I'm not lying when I say I don't like people.
No.
I'm not lying when I say I don't like people. Yeah. Okay, that's true.
Well, surely you wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. But when I say I love everybody. Yeah. And so people hear that or have heard me say that in the past. And so I've been called a liar for saying that.
Right.
What?
And I know I'm going to get emails and all this about because I'm a hypocrite because I'm reading the Bible and saying I don't like people and I'm a hypocrite. But okay.
Well, I get it. I think what you do. Truly are saying, because we've both said this, we just don't like, and I think I clarified this to you much too. I said, okay, I love everybody, but I really don't like stupid people. And when that mostly comes in the form of driving, because I do get a little challenged when people can't
my target's
drive the speed
much,
limit.
My target's much yes, broader than yours.
You drive okay? a lot, yeah.
No, I'm not talking about just driving.
Oh, I thought you meant because you drive farther.
No, my target's much broader than that, not just, anyway. And I say that in jest, truly, and you know this.
You are a people person.
I will stop and help strangers on the side of the road.
Yep.
Specifically females, because one, I'm married to a female, and I trust myself, and I don't want somebody nefarious to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you have always said, if it was you,
if it was my wife or my daughter on the side of the road, I would want somebody like myself to stop and not somebody else.
Yeah.
So I do.
Mm-hmm.
How many accidents have I had to provide
aid?
First aid or more? So I say I don't like people. I that's probably true.
Which I find,
but there is a love that I have for humanity and people in general.
And I find it so ironic because I have often described us as you are very social and outgoing. You're an extrovert and
I am not an extrovert.
And
I am not.
I am socially awkward. When we
you are not socially
yes,
awkward.
Yes, I am. I am. Once I get to know people, I'm fine, but I'm a nervous Nilly. I have social anxiety is what I have.
Right.
I didn't know there was a name for how I felt, until recently, a couple years ago, but I have anxiety and I definitely, it's really bad in social situations.
Right.
And I get,
well, and I want to talk about that here in a little bit here. Cause I made a note on this bullet point thing about, because I want to talk about that some more about social anxiety and others and my sweet pea and what she's doing this weekend and the anxiety that girl had. And I'm like, girl.
Yeah. And she's double whammied between her mother and me.
And you.
But you go out, you talk to everybody, you talk to strangers. You've been called the mayor for a reason. Yeah.
Or maybe I don't care.
maybe that's why I need to be more like that. But
well, I don't. Anyway, I'm sorry. We've digressed. But so we talked about there's excellence. God calls us to excellent things, whether it's in work or relationships or service to Him. And when I think about that in service to Him,
thing, doesn't it? It changes it.
Yes.
It's not about us anymore.
Correct. And that's the point, I think, to this, truly. But not only that, but it makes me think about, like, what you were doing just before we started this podcast.
Yeah.
You're preparing for worship, for our divine worship service tomorrow, right? Uh-huh. So you were getting music together.
Right.
We need to do that excellently.
Are you criticizing me?
No. I think more of the onus is on me than it's on you.
Oh.
During divine worship. Need to make sure that's excellent. As excellent as we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that hit my mind as we read that. So, you know, church on Sunday can get repetitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Better not get repetitive.
Right.
Is that our excellence? Because that worship is God's.
Yeah.
That's service to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Then finally, whatever is worthy of praise, and God alone is truly worthy of our highest praise and focusing on Him, centers our thoughts on the ultimate good. So again, even more so, thinking about our divine worship service. And not just that, but our lives in general. Are we praising God in our lives? So are we leaving this stuff out? And what do we do? I mean, you know, saying we need the practical tips, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So Paul doesn't just stop at telling us what to think about. He urges us to put these things into practice. It's not enough to just have good thoughts. You know, that's an annoyance of mine.
What?
Good thoughts, good vibes.
Happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts, good vibes. Yeah.
Unless you're Bob Ross. Happy little trees.
Well, that's different.
I know. I was.
That's the thing that... Technically, scripturally, it's not wrong.
Right.
It's not wrong to say good thoughts.
Well, but you have to give credit where credit's due.
Right. Instead of, I'm praying for you, it's happy thoughts.
I'm sending good vibes.
Good vibes, right. And I know there's something about frequencies and so forth and mm-hmm. energy and all of that. I'm not denying that. However, let's focus on Yahweh, the creator, not...
Mm-hmm.
We need to live them good thoughts out. It's not about just thoughts. We need to live it out. And that's how we experience the God of peace Paul talks about.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we do that? Well, I believe it starts with intentionality, and I hate that word, but I don't know how else to describe it. I think that makes the most sense. We have to be intentional. We need to encourage each other to begin each day by meditating on one of these qualities. Quality of truth, honor, justice, purity, loveliness.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to help you to live out in your day-to-day life. That's what we need to meditate on. So if you're struggling with fear or anxiety, focus on whatever is true. God's promises are true. He is faithful. If you're dealing with relationship issues, focus on whatever is honorable. How can you bring honor to that relationship? So, I've got a lot of stories I could share here about...
We got a story for everything.
I know. I've been told that for many, many decades now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about how a situation is going to unfold and play out in your thoughts?
Yes.
And then you get afraid or you get anxious or maybe you get mad. You get angry.
Uh-huh.
Have you thought? I've done that.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the number of times. Remember when we used to live where we used to live in a town called Akron, mm-hmm. Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And we had several acres there, and I would be out mowing on a riding lawnmower, but I'm riding this mower And I liked that because that was my, I don't mean to sound selfish, kind of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could write and I could think.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you the number of times I mowed and I thought and I thought and I thought, and I was pissed by the time I got done mowing. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
I had played out stuff in my mind.
Hmm.
Do you know how unhealthy that is?
Yeah.
Wow. And how damaging that is?
Yeah.
You've never done that?
I have conversations out loud.
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I know that you do. And but I'm just saying that, and I have a term I'm not going to use on this episode or this podcast, but I've said that term for years. You are,
You're trying to come up with a different one?
I'm trying to come up with a word that explains my phrase that I would tell
mm-hmm.
Andrew, quite honestly.
Yeah.
When I had a conversation with him.
I thought you came up with mental gymnastics is not the same.
Well,
for that.
That's, yeah. No, you're right. No, that's, mental gymnastics is trying to jump around
and make something
to get,
fit
yeah, make something fit. And uh-huh. This is not that. This is brain sodomy. How is that? Brain sodomy.
Well, you said it, so it's out there.
I was trying to clean that up as best I could.
Yeah, well.
You get it. You understand,
well, yeah,
right?
Okay. I know what it is. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I knew what the original context is, so.
So, I've done this that almost drove myself crazy, right? I remember a time.
Did you really want me to answer that?
Well.
Yes.
I know it was not a long drive, first of all. I got to go back, what? 30 years? Oh, how old is Abby? Because Abby wasn't born yet. She's 32, so probably 33 years ago, Andrew was young. And we were living in a town, and I was working in the mills at the time, and I was working shift work, right? Mm-hmm. And we had a friend of ours had gotten a divorce,
mm-hmm.
tragically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his wife left him and his children just vamboosh, gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this story. Okay, Abby wasn't born yet, so.
I know. That's what I said.
Oh,
so
okay. 33, I thought you said 30, she was young. Okay.
No. I said Andrew was young.
Okay.
And he came over and we visited. And then, but I had to drive like an hour to work. And so I had to get ready and I have to leave. And I left.
Mm-hmm.
I said goodbye. I got to go. And I drove and I did brain sodomy that one, by the time I was at work, I had convinced myself, and nobody could change that in my mind, that you were having an affair with him.
Right. In fact, when you say that nobody could change your mind, you and I had a conversation on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and you said to me, well, you didn't even deny it. You didn't even say a word. I'm like, I was screaming into the phone at you. I'm like, that's how you didn't even hear me.
Right. It was, but that is brain sodomy. And
mm-hmm.
everybody can do it. And a lot of people do it. And you got to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot let your thoughts run away.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal in, like Paul says here, you have to deal in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I tend to like to deal with quote-unquote data, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's generally based on some form of a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, lived it, done it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a story you'd like to share, my love?
About
about creating anxiety within yourself and then turning out to be something that you probably didn't have need to have anxiety over.
Oh. Well, that's probably every day. It's hard to pinpoint.
And I don't like to talk negative about any of my family members. But I'll be candid. With my sweet pea and her doing what she's doing this weekend, which is a great opportunity for her, my heart, my mind hurts. My brain hurts, first of all, because I struggle to understand how a 10-year-old, a beautiful 10-year-old girl living her dream, truly, can be riddled by anxiety that she has.
Well,
are they much more mature than we were? Because I'm trying to think, when I was 10, I was just worried about getting the uniform off the G.I. Joe doll and putting another uniform. I have no idea, but I don't know.
Like I said, I have anxiety, but it's usually quite specific. Our daughter had anxiety, and it was, again, more social. Like we had to make her, to help her, I kind of overcome it. I would make her go to the store to purchase something.
Yeah, wasn't 10.
No, you're right. So this seems really severe. And the thing is she has it over, you know, she's into horses. She rides horses. It's really bad. She's like, do the quick version as I can. She's training with she's taking a class right now with a renowned horse trainer. So preparing for it, she's, you know, I'm telling her, you know, enjoy it, have a great time. And she's just like, oh, I'm so nervous. And I'm like, why are you nervous? It's training.
Right.
And she's like, I know, I'm just going to throw up and I'm just so nervous. And so I'm like, nobody has any expectations of you. You're learning.
Right.
And it's going to be fine. And so I talked to her the morning of her first class, which was Thursday, today's Saturday. And she said, Mimi, I'm so proud. I ate a bowl of oatmeal. And I said, okay. And she goes, I didn't think I was going to be able to eat anything. So we were able to FaceTime her after she finished her first clinical class. And of course, we'd seen some video. We saw her picture taken with him. Of course, he took a shining to her, which I'm not surprised. She is a little protege. And he's hugging her up and stuff. He's, you know, fallen in love with her, which of course we are not surprised. And she is so relieved that it's over. She's shouting my name. I'm talking to her mom and she's calling my name, me. And I said, so how was it? She lifts her arm and she goes, look, I'm sweating so bad. Look at my armpits. Oh my gosh. Cracks me up. But yes, this inward stuff is coming out outwardly. And I'm just so relieved for her. Of course, we've heard nothing for 2 days. So obviously things are going well.
Time. Right, right.
But, you know, it just, how it has manifested from generation to generation.
To a 10-year-old.
To a 10-year-old, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, this is how jacked up our world is. First of all, I know I'm biased. I know that. That I think I have the most beautiful granddaughters. And I do. Nobody's going to convince me differently of that.
Right. And everyone should feel that way.
But their own. My sweet pea is a knockout.
Yeah. She's tall.
And she's 10. Hold on. She's 10.
Yeah. I'm just jealous because her legs go on forever.
And what kind of a skin routine or whatever bullshit nonsense she have?
Yeah, more than mine.
What in the world is going on? She's 10.
She likes to do facials.
She barely got rid of spots. That's how young she is. And she's putting on crap on her. That is all this BS on the social media. And,
well, because she's not on any of that.
Princess doesn't do that. Does she?
No.
Okay.
She's not on social media. She's not allowed on that stuff.
Well, I don't know where she's getting this from.
I don't know. But, well, she's allowed to wear makeup because when you are in the horse world.
Yes, I understand for the shows.
They do makeup for
them. They do call them shows for a reason, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, that's what I know about that situation.
So I'm going to have a sit down with my sweet pea, and we're going to talk about Philippians 4.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great, yeah. I think that'd be great. And you know what you ought to do? We bought them Bibles.
Yes.
For Easter, you should, we'll take that, we'll take Philippians 4 out, and we'll highlight it for.
You have any closing thoughts, my love?
I do.
Well, excellent. You're supposed to say idea, or what? No, you would say
idea.
I'm going to say. That's my other granddaughter, my itty bitty.
I propose that not only do we take these whatever thoughts and apply them to ourselves and make them our thoughts, but we also try to identify them and point them out to others.
I love that.
So when someone is doing something lovely, we tell them they're doing something lovely. Or when someone is doing something commendable, we tell them, because it's not always about us.
I agree.
And maybe if we identify these attributes in others, it will be easier for us to focus on them.
It's a great
and
point.
Focus
a great
on
idea.
Them on a, in ourselves.
See,
because maybe it doesn't have to be about us. It just says that we should focus on them.
Correct. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be about it. We can focus on them in other people.
Well, I think that's what he's in people and situations and in God's purpose.
Right. So let's turn it outward for just a minute.
Correct.
And start recognize it, because you never know what other people are going through, and maybe they need to hear that it's lovely, that what they're doing is lovely. Again, taking away the physical.
You sound like the HR managers. Never mind.
Anyways, that's my takeaway. And I'm also going to give you an idea of maybe on the Crusade With Me Facebook page that maybe after this airs, maybe you post one a day on the Facebook page.
I will do that.
And maybe with a little, you know.
A whatever.
With maybe a.
I'll get the social media manager to get on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. That is awesome. No, you're exactly right. So I want to leave you with this. Whatever you're going through right now, whether it's hardship, uncertainty, or doubt, know that God is inviting you to think on these things. He wants you to shift your focus from the storms around you to the peace that comes from aligning your thoughts with His truth. So let's close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which guides us into all truth. Help us to focus on whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Renew our minds and fill us with your peace. In Jesus' name we pray, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us today on Crusade With Me. I hope this episode encouraged and challenged you to live out Philippians 4. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share it with someone who needs this message. Until next time, keep your thoughts on whatever, and let the peace of God reign in your hearts. And as always, Crusade With Me.